Hello and welcome to the Geek Mavericks podcast.
This is our fourth episode.
Episode four.
We took a 2 month break, I think.
Did we though?
I don't know. We've been doing a lot of stuff, so yeah. our nights and whatnot have been pretty occupied with some other things, and I think that's actually what we wanted to start with today.
Sure. What's
is
in the news for
the
us?
The news. So I think normally we do news, actual news, but we'll do us news.
Us news. Yeah. What's been going on?
I would say we've been spending most of our time actually with the mentorship program,
mm-hmm.
Which has been going really, really well.
Strong.
It has been such an eye-opening experience. For the mentees, but also for us.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really cool. We have we started out with about 30 participants,
mm-hmm.
And we have some folks that have kind of like dropped off, others that are overseas. So I've been actually meeting on Mondays with them, like trying to do it like during the day so that it's nighttime where mm-hmm. they are. But for the most part, we've been meeting with everybody once a week
yeah.
at night. We were filming actually the content and putting it on the channel. We did
yeah.
I think we did two episodes. And then we kind of realized that we were talking with the team and stuff that they really enjoyed the one-on-one
mm-hmm.
or not like one-on-one, it was more like the group discussions
that we had,
and the interactiveness.
Yeah.
And we really preferred that too. So we cut everybody.
We cut everybody else
off.
Out.
But I think that was for the best.
Of what we had committed to this program.
Yeah.
Is it was a 12-week program.
Yes.
Right. And we were devoting 1 to 2 hours a week to this program, to all of our mentees.
Just to doing the meetings,
mm-hmm.
And that doesn't obviously account for like actually prepping material and coming
right.
up with that
covering
kind of thing,
specific
so.
Topics every week. So it was a very robust mentorship program.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. We weren't just giving a little bit of time here and there.
It wasn't just like
yeah. once a month. You know,
right.
we were meeting with these folks every week.
Yes.
And you know, as expected, people dropped out because it's a pretty intensive program.
Pretty
like
intense.
It's,
I can be kind of intense too.
Yeah, we're pretty intense about it, and we're really trying to make a difference in the content. And some folks may realize that, you know what, this is too much. I'm not really into it, or just
right.
you know, maybe I need to rethink things. You know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Absolutely. But it has been really cool, and we've been focusing on topics like, obviously you saw like the finding your why. We've
mm-hmm.
been talking kind of deep stuff about why are you actually doing this, why it's important to,
yep.
to understand that. We did get into, obviously, equipment and things like that to kind of enhance your product, if you will.
Yeah.
So we've been exploring that a bit, but we've been getting into things like finding your value and making sure that you know what your value is.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, let's say, you're not charging for content, you still understand kind of what sort of value you're giving up. So we've had, you know, very, very lengthy discussions about all of that. And overall, it's been really cool to kind of see everybody's content moving in a direction that's much more confident
mm-hmm.
and is really, you know, kind of meeting their expectations, I think, a little bit more. So
yeah,
it's been a really neat thing.
We're moving into a phase now where it's kind of closing. So
mm-hmm.
we're ending
yeah.
the program because
yep.
it's run its course, and we're going to be meeting with those who want to meet with us individually and really doing private coaching sessions
yeah.
now. That will give them direct feedback on their content. So
right, yeah.
Definitely, we'll put out who is in the program and who wants
yes.
to wants to showcase what they've done and
uh-huh.
their new content and let you guys. You know, go check it out. So.
Yeah, and we've trained them on taking criticism. So.
Yeah, so they should be very open to your
yes.
comments. So that should be good. But we've also used that course as sort of our own way to self-reflect.
It's been a little cathartic,
yeah.
cathartic for us as well. Yeah.
So, yeah, just to go through the journey. We went through the journey with them, and we really
yeah.
analyzed our own content and our own why and why we're here, why we're doing it. And it was all very timely.
Mm-hmm.
And why we why we took a break and why we're going sort of we're pivoting into
mm-hmm.
where we are now.
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of like, I guess we sort of took a pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
took that like nap on the side of the road kind of thing.
Yeah.
And really kind of started to reevaluate why we had been creating content ourselves for the last 5-6 years in your case,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where we kind of want to go forward with it.
Yeah.
And we had some interesting thoughts come out of that and discoveries. We'll say
interesting
and
discoveries. So with that, I guess we'll just kind of quickly talk about like where we're going with AntLab.
Let's talk about the ant in the room, right?
So so obviously when we left a few months ago and kind of just unplugged for a bit, we said, you know, AntLab is, we're done with it, it's over. So and then we recently posted something saying, you know, things are coming. You know, we're going to start posting new content on that channel. Don't get me wrong. What we did say when we were done with AntLab was not false. We were done with AntLab.
Yeah.
Done in the sense that you can call it sort of the death of the channel as it was.
Can we not call it death?
Well, it was because it's kind of like a closing that one chapter and opening a new chapter.
A cocooning?
Yeah, maybe? Cocooning. And okay. It's a metamorphosis.
Yeah,
right?
I
so
like that
it's
better.
Morphing into something new, and we're going to go into this next sort of phase in our content with sort of a different lens, I think.
Very much, yeah, a couple different lenses.
A couple different lenses. So what we plan to do is, so the AntLab playthrough review, which we kind of created years ago, and I think it really took off, and it really became a very popular format that others out there, you know, are using today, you know, very successfully.
It works.
Yeah, so it definitely works. They've taken soup to nuts what we do, and it works.
Yeah.
So, but what we've decided was, you know what, it's time to pivot, right? So when you've beaten a certain thing to death, you kind of want to refresh in it, especially if others are beating the same format to death
right.
as well.
Yeah, and I think it's not really meeting the needs of the community anymore in the way that it is. Like we've talked a lot about giving reviews and what does that mean, and is there really a place for it, and what's the best way to do that, and also what is it that our channel brings that, at least in our you know, experience, like only we can bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what's unique to
like
us?
Like what's unique to us? And this is something we actually asked our mentees.
And if we continued to do the playthrough review, we would be just like every other couple doing playthrough reviews. You know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, we're just one of the mix now. And when publishers and designers are looking for people to do their playthroughs, they have a whole sea of playthrough reviewers out there to choose from. And it's like, how do you stand out from that?
So, and we do stand out because we do have these relationships with publishers. So it made us think, like, what is it about what we do? Do you know what I mean?
So we're going to, well, not to, to basically say exactly what we're going to be doing, because you'll see that soon enough.
But the
AntLab brand itself is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We worked too damn hard to build that up to where it is today. So it will continue to provide some of the best board game content on the internet. And I'm not just posting. So, because I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it will take it to the next level because we're going to continue to improve on it. And you'll see what we've changed. It's not going to be a playthrough review anymore. It's going to be something else. And you'll see the new branding. You'll see the new formats. You'll see the
We will be, can I still tell them we'll be playing games?
We will be playing board games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will be, I don't want to call them playthroughs, but we will be playing full games on AntLab Games channel. That will be the staple. It just won't be in the traditional playthrough review format that you've known for the last 4 years.
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be better.
Yeah.
So at least we think
so
it
exciting.
Is. But that'll be good. So that's one thing we're pivoting. We're in a partnership in another project that we mentioned before we sort of took the break. That's still going full steam ahead.
Also extremely exciting.
Very, very exciting for us. And we are definitely part of that. And you'll be seeing some of our videos with that partnership. A lot of our videos with that partnership.
This summer.
Yeah. So a couple more months, and you should see that sort of emerge as well.
Yep.
So we got a lot of good things coming, which is why we didn't want to sort of just disappear forever and come back. I know a lot of you have been sending emails, a lot of you have been posting comments, asking where we are, what are we doing. So look,
like,
we've been busy getting our stuff together to get back to putting out board gaming content. Now, the question was, what about Geek Mavericks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Geek Mavericks is still the same. This
right.
is this was a side project when we created it at the time.
And even like some of our friends in the publisher quadrant were like, are you guys still doing videos? I know you changed your name, but like this was never a rebranding of AntLab Games. We really just, we've actually wanted to do this type of channel for a while because we are into so many other kind of geeky, techie lifestyle sort of things that don't fit under the AntLab brand.
Exactly.
So.
And this content there's a core set of people who really enjoy this content.
Yeah, like we have people who are like, I didn't really like your playthroughs.
who watch like the you know, they look at, they want shows, they want recommendations, they want book recommendations. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff that we kind of consume while we're not playing board games. Yeah. So we want to share that as well. But that'll be done solely on Geek Mavericks. This will happen.
Yep.
We'll try to get one out back on schedule, maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. We'll try to, because once we start doing playthroughs again, or gameplay videos or whatever you want to call them, we're going to be a little bit low on time. So I think this will probably get like one or two a month, and then we'll, because we're going to be focusing a lot more on AntLab. And you know, to be quite honest, like it would have been a ridiculously stupid move for us to close down a brand that's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
It is. AntLab is. It definitely has its following.
Yeah.
And by walking away from that brand entirely would have really just been hurting the fans.
Yeah, I think that's what the conclusion we came to, especially as we have people who are like we've gotten so many emails in the last like couple of weeks even that are like, I just found your channel like last week, you know what I mean? And we're still gaining subscribers and people are still enjoying it and kind of enjoying being part of our family, which is the way that we've always seen it. So we didn't want to abandon everyone. I think that we're just going to be approaching it from sort of with a different perspective, I think, with a different outlook.
Exactly. And you'll see. You'll join us on that journey, hopefully. And you'll be, hopefully, you know, you'll be just as happy to follow us on both channels.
Yeah.
There's no limit of how many channels you can belong to on YouTube.
You can subscribe to as many as you want.
Subscribe to them all.
You're not tired of us.
Yeah. So I think we've gone on enough about us.
Yeah. Right? I want to talk about the episode.
So let's get to, let's start talking about shows. So we're going to start with some movies first. And then we'll,
movies first?
No, let's do shows first, and then we'll jump into movies.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, so
first
show we'll talk about today is a show that
this
we
is
had,
an old show.
Yeah, it's an older show, but we had been we've been seeing it pop up in the Netflix feed for quite some time,
and we're just like, that was such a good show.
We were just like, first of all, we're just like, I'm not into it, and then we just ran out of things to watch, so we just gave it a go.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't look back, let me tell you.
I know.
The show is called Ozark. So I'm sure many of you have heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you have watched it.
Maybe some of you have tried to watch it
or
and
tried.
Decided not to.
Maybe. But what is Ozark? So Ozark, to me, feels very much like a different version of Breaking Bad.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you liked Breaking Bad, you will love Ozark.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was hoping you were going to be like, then you'll like Ozark too. And no. I actually loved Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And I really, really, really enjoyed Ozark. Yes. I think mostly because I really like Jason Bateman.
Yes. So, he's phenomenal. So it starts Jason Bateman and Laura Linney are the two like main characters in the show. And obviously, it's got to do with drug cartel.
Yes.
Which is like,
naturally.
Just like Breaking Bad. But it's more, I don't know what it is. It takes place in the Ozarks.
Right.
And without, I don't want to like spoil anything, but basically Jason Bateman is sort of like this finance guy who cooks books. Like that's what he does. And he works for a drug lord. And it just follows him on this crazy, him and his family.
Yeah.
On this crazy journey to the Missouri Ozarks,
right,
to basically build a business out there.
Yeah, and just like clean money.
Right, and but it's not like, okay, let's just go to the Ozarks and do it. You go to the Ozarks and realize how crazy the Ozarks are.
Yeah.
And then have to do what he's doing, and it's just there's just so much going on in the show.
Yeah.
That it's nutty.
It's one of those things where kind of like Breaking Bad, where it was like, you have your protagonist, he's out, he's trying to do something good, he does a bad thing in order to do a better thing, right?
Right, like for his family. Right. It's always for the family.
Yes, always. But it's kind of like when one thing leads to another. So, episode by episode, he just digs himself deeper and deeper into this thing until there's just no way out of it, and he's completely a changed person. But I liked in this one where, like with Breaking Bad, you kind of saw a lot of like character development. Mm-hmm. Like, Walter White went from seriously just science teacher that wanted to provide for his family to, like, full-on just bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you saw that transformation, and that was part of what made that, you know, kind of a masterpiece in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, I didn't get... I'm trying to think if, like, Jason Bateman's character really... changed that much. I think I got the
it
same
does,
feel from
but not
him.
To the not to the extent that Walter White does.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. I think that's
and I think a lot of the characters change in this show, but it's in a different way than they do in Breaking Bad. But I don't want to go too deep into that, because that's half the enjoyment of the show.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really good.
So there's three seasons. Fourth season's coming. Season three ended on a crazy note.
I know.
Absolutely insane. You have to watch this show. I couldn't recommend, if you're into this type of show, violent, gore.
Yeah.
It's definitely rated R.
It's
actually
not
like
a watch it with your kids.
It's rated TVMA, so mature audiences. That's like one step higher than R.
I was going to say,
definitely don't watch with your kids, but man, this show is good, good. Definitely check out Ozark.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next show. So this was like way other end of the spectrum. Yeah.
Just for balance, really.
Yeah, you've got to have some sort of just throw in like a real hokey, cheesy show.
Yeah, I know, but this
was. But it was
super
good.
Cheesy.
But I enjoyed. All right, so we're
I know.
Going
usually,
on.
I put in like Working Moms or something like that.
Yeah, but
right?
this one's in the fantasy theme, which I would say sure.
Uh-huh.
And the show's called Warrior Nun.
This one, I did start watching this on my own, didn't I? Wasn't
no.
this one that I started watching?
You did not. I actually started watching this on my own, and you're like, what is this show? And you were like, I'm not into this. And then by the second episode, you were sucked in.
My memory of that is different.
No, I 100% put this show on, because I was seeing it in the previews, and it kept showing up on Netflix.
I guess it kept showing up, and I was just like,
and I'm like, what in the world
nun.
Is a warrior, like, warrior nun? This makes no sense. So... Yeah. In any case, it follows this main character, and I don't really know a lot of the actors in this show. It
mm-hmm.
looks like they're a bunch of new actors, but the main female lead reminds me of Emilia Clarke a lot, a younger Emilia Clarke. So she's a girl who plays Khaleesi.
Yes,
reminds me of that actress quite a bit. She with the brown hair, because whenever she normally has brown hair, looks a lot like her to me. But she's working with this group of young nuns. And there is a whole host of demonic things happening.
Well, she finds out basically that she has powers.
Through an event, she gains powers.
Right. And thereby, and I'm trying to like not spoil it, mm-hmm. but like thereby she becomes someone who these nuns really, really want to work with,
mm-hmm.
like even closer.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, I don't believe in any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. Doesn't really know what's happening to her. So you're kind of watching her go through this discovery of like who she is now.
Yep.
And also trying to figure out this mystery of what's actually going on.
Mm.
It reminded me a lot of the same feel as like a Da Vinci Code
kind of
type of thing.
If
you're into that kind of I don't know,
old theological sort of like mystery stuff.
Mystery fantasy kind of
like with relics
stuff.
And artifacts and all that stuff.
Right. It was not like the title would suggest that it's like all about like religion or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously it is about, you know, it's religious based, it's nuns, but it's not, it's just that's like, that's the land that this is taking place in.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. It's all modern day. But it's sort of watching that juxtaposition of this ancient old sacred stuff
mm-hmm.
happening alongside modern day, like, no good stuff. Like it's just pretty
it's
wild.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's just a fun, entertaining show that
is,
you're not really going to be like, wow, I watched that, I'm so happy I spent the time watching that. Yeah, it's only one season. This was the first season. I'm not sure if there's going to be a second. I'm sure there is going to be a second one, but I would hope there is, because I'd watch it.
It was
one of those just like, I want to just waste an hour watching a show right now that's just like kind of weird. Fighting and karate and like nuns, mm-hmm. nuns fighting demons, and stuff. Like just real fantastical stuff. Like it's cool. Like I thought it was okay. Like it was mm-hmm. better. It was certainly better than I expected it to be.
Yeah. And it was also very much like if you're into these like female superhero type of like groups sort of, because it
Like a
is, it's
badass girl
all
group, yeah.
exactly like it's all girls, it's all they're all like, you know, like young women kind of, I don't want to say like coming of age, but
But
they're all
like,
like young adults,
yeah,
again
trained to
training
kill.
to be, well, the thing is that like they're training to be nuns, but they're also like training to kill like
Demons.
demons.
Yeah, it's really interesting, so.
So it sounds wild. It is
Yeah,
pretty
we
wild,
enjoyed it.
but it's enjoyable.
So that was
So
Warrior
yeah.
Nun. Go check it out. Yeah, we definitely promised to bring weird shows for you to
Yeah,
check
no.
out, like not the run-of-the-mill
I
stuff.
know.
All right, so now we're gonna pivot over to movies.
All right.
This one was interesting.
So this was a film that we watched on Netflix
Yeah,
that
no,
maybe a
Netflix
lot of you
movie.
have watched,
We watch a
and
lot of Netflix.
I've actually been hearing really like either people loved it or they hated it. I
Really?
have
You're getting
friend
mixed feelings on
my
this
a
one.
friend of mine, yes, one of my friends was like, this movie, I cried. Like
Oh,
she was
really?
like so into just like the drama of
It's
it.
sad.
It is sad, but we were, I think, expecting something different. So the movie is called Stowaway. I personally am kind of over the whole space as a vehicle for exploration into your mind and failed relationships and all that stuff.
Space as a way to find out your humanity. Like,
Yeah, I'm over. Like, I get it. Like, we're in space, we're by
Ad
ourselves, we get to see
Astra.
the
Like,
outside,
there's been so
whatever.
many of these
So many of them.
movies. I just want to know. I want a space movie that tells me about space.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to know about space. I don't
That's why
want to
we're
know about
watching.
these
That's why we're watching
interpersonal,
Star Trek Discovery right now.
interpersonal relationships
So.
about like and all these tough decisions. Like,
Yeah.
it's
I know. I mean, it has its place, I
it
think, but
does.
it's just to me personally, I keep watching these space movies that I feel like are gonna be mysterious, or there's gonna be like something happening and what's going on, and in this particular movie,
Well, coming off
I
of
kept.
Lost in Space series, that really
And maybe
delivers
that's why.
a combination of really neat
Yeah.
discovery stuff with the character,
I think you
flaws.
make a good point because the series, the space series that have come out recently have been so good. And they've been, because they have the time to develop characters and do
Exactly.
that kind of thing. So the movies, it's kind of like you don't have that much time
Yeah, I
to
guess
dwell
not.
on
You
that, I
have
guess.
like 2 hours. Hour
But
in
I
this
don't
case, an
know.
hour and 56
You
minutes.
still could put a mystery together, I
Yeah.
think.
So here's the thing. Here's what outrages. A three-person crew on a mission to Mars faces an impossible choice when an unplanned passenger jeopardizes the lives of everyone on board.
I don't like how they blame him. He
He
jeopardizes the
jeopardized.
lives
You
of
jeopardized
everyone.
all of us. So, and it
It's like,
stars
well,
Anna
not really.
Kendrick, Toni Collette, and Daniel Day Kim. So they're all seasoned actors. Daniel Day Kim, one of my favorites from the Lost series. But
And Anna
they
Kendrick, one of my favorites from
from the Trolls movie.
everything she sings.
Oh, okay. From Pitch
From
Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
Is she in Pitch
We're
Perfect?
back. Pitches.
Is she in Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
Okay.
She does the Cups song.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know. I never watched that movie.
Anyway.
So it's obviously it's about space. It's about a Mars mission. Unplanned passenger jeopardizes the lives, right? So that's where the drama unfolds, right?
Right.
So this third person's not planned.
Well,
Things,
he's the fourth person,
well, the four, yeah,
actually.
sorry, this fourth person's unplanned. He obviously throws a wrench in the works. They weren't expecting to have to feed and
Well,
air
see, the thing.
four people, only three. So I guess they only brought just enough for three people.
Dumb.
So why not keep it thin? But they have a lot of really tough decisions to make along the way on how to handle this situation, right?
Right.
So and there's definitely some pretty big events that occur in the movie that really are tough. Like, because if you're faced with it,
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of one hard decision after
yeah.
another, which leaves
Yeah.
the
What
watcher, the
gets me
viewer.
about this movie though
Yeah.
is
What is it? What one thing
you've
gets you
got
about
these
this movie?
brilliant people coming up with
I
these
know.
ideas, being
Yeah.
super, super creative. They come up with a super, super good idea, and they make the stupidest mistakes while executing the idea. Like the stupidest mistakes that you're just like, why would you do that? Are you like, what are you doing?
Because they're smart. Like, I mean, you're talking about like really brilliant scientists, all
Yeah,
of
who
them.
normally double, triple check things, and all of a sudden they're just not
So,
doing
yeah,
things,
right.
and it results in catastrophe. So it's like, you know, I get it's a movie and you need the drama, but ideally, like, these people are smart. They would do things. They would do things the right way, and they could have easily gotten out of the situation that turned out to not be such a good situation. So it's like, without totally giving away the movie, I thought the movie was okay. I didn't really love it.
I didn't love it.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Everyone acted well, except for the pilot. Who played the pilot?
That was Toni Collette.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really like her.
She was okay. Otherwise, the acting was really good. Yeah. It was really like they really sold you on the drama here. Like it was
they
really
did,
like
yeah.
it was. There were some tough scenes.
Like, it was just
it was really sad, and you really feel bad.
Yeah, and it was sad.
Yeah, it was definitely sad. The outcome was the whole thing was just sad, and it's just like
I didn't want to spend my time being sad.
Yeah, it's just sad, and it's just like people making bad decisions, and you're just like. At the end of the movie, you're just like, I don't feel good after watching this
And you know what
movie.
Happened was, like, all the way up until the end of the movie, I'm like, okay, we've got resolution on this thing that's been happening all movie.
Mm-hmm.
What next? Like, tell me they landed on Mars. Like, tell me they went back home. Like,
yeah, it's one of those movies that they don't resolve anything. You're like, credits. And you're just like, what?
I'm like, okay.
Could you give me, like, 2 more minutes for closure here? How about epilogue? You know, like, where's the epilogue? Nothing.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah, you don't get any of that.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? I can't recommend it, but if you're looking to watch something,
if you want to be sad for
you
like
want to be sad and you really just need a tearjerker, go check out Stowaway. All right, final movie.
Yes.
Now this is on a good
note. That's probably very loud for most people.
Oh, was it? Sorry. on a good note. So here we go. This was a movie that when I heard was coming out, I was very excited. I went and I watched the trailer on YouTube, got even more excited. And
me too.
And only not because I'm a fan of the lore, but because I'm a fan of the previous movies.
Oh, okay. I'm a fan of the game.
I'm a fan of the game, too. So, the movie is called Mortal Kombat 2021. Like, they just keep coming, like, just keep Mortal Kombat 2035. Like, every 10 years, they'll make a new
CDs,
one.
CDs, those now.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I call
now
music.
Now 31.
Five.
So, when the Mortal Kombat came out years ago, the one that was prior to this one.
Right.
It had like that techno music in it, and it was like the first Mortal Kombat movie. And when I went to the theater, I think I saw that, and I was just like, wow, this was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so good compared to what I expected. Like, my expectations were here, and the movie was up here. And just because it had some really cool fight scenes, it had the characters were neat. The fight scenes when they started pumping that techno music, and they were just going, it was really, it just had you into it, right? So I was kind of hoping that they would deliver something of that caliber.
And?
In this Mortal Kombat version 2021. And I believe they did.
Yeah, it was different, though. It wasn't, like, techno music.
No,
it definitely wasn't, like,
thankfully, it wasn't techno music.
The other movie, but...
so this one actually has a couple of my... actually, one of my favorite actors in it. Hiroyuki Sanada.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays, like, the samurai in just about every movie known to man. He was in, like, 47 Ronin. He played a samurai in Westworld, the series.
Yes, he did.
He played, I think he was in Lost. He played a samurai in 47 Ronin. He was in The Last Samurai.
Like
this dude,
typecast
this dude
samurai,
is the samurai. But I think he's badass. I like him as an actor. So he was in here. He plays Scorpion in this movie. And he's, like, in the opening scene. So he opens right up with him. Another actor who's familiar to us by the name of Louis Tan.
Mm-hmm.
We had recently watched a series on Netflix called the... what was it called? The Wu Assassin.
The Wu Assassin, yes.
The Wu Assassin. Yes. And he plays one of the main characters, Louis Tan, in The Wu Assassin. He's a younger Asian guy. And he is, like, the main character in Mortal Kombat movie. And really, really good.
He did a great
job. Here's the thing. Like, that's the biggest thing on that. It's like, who is this new character, Cole? Like, if you look it up, you'll find out it's Cole. Who's this guy? What character actually is he? People were saying that he's actually Johnny Cage, or he's this, or he's that. He's nobody, right? He's just a new character, which I didn't mind. Like, because I think you kind of need to put some other characters in and not just have all Mortal Kombat characters.
Right. Yeah, I like that they're continuing to expand the lore.
Yes.
In a way that's really classy and well done.
Yeah, and you do have all of the main Mortal Kombat characters like Raiden, Jax,
Sonya Blade,
Sub-Zero, Scorpion. Like, so they're all there. So you do get your fill in that, mm-hmm. except for Christopher Lambert does not play Lord Raiden in this one. He's legendary in his own time when he portrayed him in the other Mortal Kombat movie, but this one's okay. It's not as good, but I think but he did all right. I really enjoyed this movie. I definitely recommend this one because if you're into Mortal Kombat in any way, I'm not into the lore. Like I don't really like I've played the video games and I'm not like totally into the whole like history and mythos of Mortal Kombat, but I do enjoy the characters. I do know them well enough to enjoy the movies, and this one kind of hit all the points for me.
Yeah, I agree too. And I actually love the lore.
Do you?
Like, and this got me even more interested in like knowing like who's related to who and like what's their backstory and stuff.
Yeah, okay. And which characters kind of have a relationship, which ones don't.
Yes. So I was really excited about that piece.
Well, maybe we'll have to play through Mortal Kombat 10 or 11.
I would love to.
And play the story mode.
I would love to.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Playthroughs won't be coming for us. Yeah, so we'll have to
shelve the board games for a bit because we'll be playing through Mortal Kombat.
That'd be fun.
Definitely thumbs up. If you can go go check it out, I definitely recommend watching Mortal Kombat.
Highly recommend.
I really like this one. It's good. So, all right, that's it for movies. Let's move on to books.
Okay.
Okay, so we have two books for you today.
Two books. As always.
Do we always have two books?
Yes.
Okay.
I think. Okay, maybe I
don't. Why don't you start with your book?
Okay. You have it pulled up there?
I do.
Well, I have it right in front of me.
Oh, of course you do.
So, you know this is a good book because it has 1,000 flags on it. So, this book is called How to Listen with Intention. Mm. I've been reading a lot of these kind of... I don't know, self-improvement books for work and also for the mentorship program. We've been going through a lot of them. And so I came across this one. It's by Patrick King. And it is actually really, really good. I thought it was going to be kind of cheesy. I'm like, I know how to listen to people, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's really neat about this is that it does go through several examples of conversations that, you know, you probably have or contribute to in your daily life and really points out opportunities to listen better, more attentively. Examples of, you know, I think one of the takeaways that I had was like if somebody is having a conversation with you, let's say you're telling me about something that's happening to you or whatever, something that a lot of us learned to do was to like connect with that person by sharing your experience that is similar, you know what I mean? So that you can find common ground. But that is actually, I think, sometimes taken to the extreme in a lot of cases in a conversation. We're pretty much just waiting for the next opportunity to talk about what we want to talk about. And so we're not actually listening to what the person is saying. So
people do that a lot.
Yes. So in an effort to listen more attentively, it's usually a good idea to kind of view your conversations almost like interviews in a way. Take a step back and kind of put your stuff sort of on the back burner, you know, a little bit, and really start to listen to what it is other people are, you know, have to say. There was a kind of like a challenge here in the book that was to try and do this for an entire day, to not interject your own thoughts, feelings, opinions, judgments on anything that anybody else was saying, but just to approach anything anybody else said from a place of curiosity. Again, not judgment or anything, and just see what happens. And what I found was that a lot of the anxiety that I sometimes have about like starting conversations with people or like even those like small talk conversations that like nobody really enjoys actually became much more interesting because I didn't have the pressure of having to like come up with something to say, because you can literally just have a conversation with somebody by being interested in what they're saying. So, you know, they're telling you all about their, you know, I don't know.
It's an amazing concept, listening to somebody else's opinions.
It really is.
I thought that behavior died.
And again, I think it has because we don't see it too frequently.
No, we don't.
Again, I think, you know, oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, you're quick to kind of jump in and just provide a solution or provide your opinion on something or pass judgment on somebody for something that they're saying. When instead, if you kind of refocus and just kind of, I don't want to say interrogate, but kind of interview in a way like, oh, that's a really interesting perspective. What led you to that, or what events in your life, you know, led you to that perspective? Or if it's, you know, it's just somebody kind of going droning on about their, you know, beach house or something like that, that they're, you know, redoing or something down at the shore, and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to listen to this anymore.
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, trying to tune into it and, you know, wow, that must be really tough for you, or, you know, tell me more about that. And it gives some really good examples of like questions that you can ask that are more open-ended as opposed to just being really awkward and abrupt and not listening. So, anyway, I really recommend it. It's a very, very short read. It's not a very thick book. It has very, very big font, because we're not apparently good listeners or good readers.
Good readers,
so, but yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. I think it could be useful for pretty much anybody. So that's my recommendation.
How to Listen with Intention.
The day.
All right. The book I'll talk about, well, I'm going to talk about a book series, is a little bit heavier. It's a lot of it heavier, actually. So I've I've been a fan of
requires its own introduction
of this author for quite some time. And I learned about this author only through another author, and I think I'd mentioned this on an earlier episode with a series, a fantasy series called The Wheel of Time. And which I think they're actually making a show about, which I really interested in seeing how that pans out. But in any case, there's an old series, an old fantasy series, that came out years and years ago by a gentleman by the name of Robert Jordan, I believe his name was, and it's called The Wheel of Time, and it is a 12-ish book series. And what happened was he passed away before finishing it.
Right.
Before finishing the last book, pretty much. So it's like the story, you know, if you were like, if you were 10 books in, like, this is a pretty big blow. And I was 10 books in. It was
like,
a pretty
how
big
dare
blow
you?
When this dude, you know, he passed away. And I'm like, oh, my God, how is this even going to happen? So then, you know, he had meticulous notes about the ending, how the books were supposed to end. His wife took care of all that stuff. And she got Brandon Sanderson to finish the series. I picked up the last of the series, listened to it, kind of like, I just need to know what happens. I don't really care. But surprised to say, like, I didn't even realize, like, you couldn't even tell it was a different author writing this. Like, that's how well Brandon Sanderson finished the series. And so I was like, wow, this guy's that good. Let me check out his other books, right? So I started, I dove into to Sanderson and have not been disappointed. So the one series that we've been reading is called the what was it called?
Stormlight Archive.
Stormlight Archives, yes. The Stormlight Archive. And the Stormlight Archive consists of four books now. And I believe there's going to be five. But we had read through the first three. The fourth one came out just recently in 2020. And I'm starting to read that one now. I listen to my books on Audible just because I just don't read actual
I do too.
Books
I listen
anymore.
To especially the fantasy books.
And this series is, it's a fantasy series, and it really follows a number of certain characters, and each book sort of kind of shifts, but the characters definitely all have a big part to play in the overarching story. But it's definitely has become one of my favorite fantasy series. Like, what were your thoughts going into this one?
I was about to ask you a question, but that's okay. Going into this one, I'm trying to remember if I started reading this. I feel like I started reading this maybe after I finished Game of Thrones, maybe. It was one of my first fantasy series that I started reading when I got into fantasy. So I was a little bit intimidated at first, and I had some expectations based on other series that I'd finished up and really, really enjoyed. So when I first started it, I was kind of like, I don't really know what this is all about. I was very confused about kind of like the way that certain things were coming together because the characters – are so well developed over the course of all of these books that when you start out, they kind of, it's almost like you could go back and read it again mm-hmm. and get more out of it the second time.
Oh,
I think that's
the
best way that I can put it,
without
is that like that Sanderson doesn't hold anything back from the very first book. So
yeah.
you're learning a lot about these characters and it's not all even like registering in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me at first I was a little bit like, I don't know what's going on.
Mm.
And I remember I would come home every day, like after driving and listening to the book, and I'd be like, so what is he doing? What's Catherine doing this time? But I think I was probably about a third of the way through the first book, and I was hooked, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
cool. I'm like really into the
when you start to really
book.
Understand where are the authors going with this,
and
right?
And the last book, and I haven't started this the new one.
The new one yet.
The last book, I was one of those ones where like I think I finished reading it like in the car in the driveway.
Yeah, where you
because
didn't
I was like,
out.
And I didn't get out of that car for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, but I have to finish it because
yep.
I was like, oh my gosh, because it was exciting.
Yeah,
right up until the very last moment, you're just like,
yeah, it's very like the
what?
The fight scenes, the combat. There's
the
these
plot twists.
Yeah, these certain individuals get these certain powers and they bond with these, they call them Spren. And they can like summon swords and special types of armor. And it's,
right.
it's just really like this, you're just trying to understand what happened in this world because the world has gone through some things
mm-hmm.
historically and they're not even sure why things have happened and they're
mm-hmm.
fighting these guys called the Parshmen and they don't know why they're the Parshendi. They're not even sure why they're fighting them, but it all starts to make more and more sense as it goes along because you start to discover what's actually driving this and what's
yeah.
actually driving these constant wars that are happening and the characters are all like unique in their own way and they're all very they're all very engaging. So it's like it really sucks you in. Like Sanderson has a really great way of painting like this world and designing
yeah.
these characters. So the books are called the first one's The Way of Kings and it's The Words of Radiance, Oathbringer, and Rhythm of War. So right now I'm reading The Rhythm of War.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, every one of these books each is over 1,000 pages. Like
they're huge.
Are long.
Yeah.
So on Audible it's over 30 hours of listening
right.
per book.
Which is why it's so good for me.
And the beauty of this, and I'll give you one little tidbit, and we're not going to go too much into what these are about because that's for you to
it's
discover.
Gonna, yeah,
all I have to say is I cannot recommend these enough. But the if you're into audiobooks,
mm-hmm.
It is read by a couple, a man, a husband mm-hmm. and wife, Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, I believe their names
yes,
are.
Yes, I think you're right.
And they are the same couple that read the Wheel of Time series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're both incredible readers. They just do voices really well. You just get really used to their cadence. And like he'll do all the male chapters, she'll
uh-huh.
do all the female chapters.
Yeah.
So it really, it's
right.
so well done the way they
well,
work
and
together.
I think that's what I like about this particular series too, and the way that Sanderson does it, is that it does like each chapter kind of does follow
mm-hmm.
a character
yep.
in a way. So you're getting this like overarching. Again, I'm all about mystery, right?
Yeah.
Like I want to know what's going on, and I want to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this whole overarching like mystery the whole time, but then you're also getting things from like each character's point of view as you read through the book.
Mm-hmm.
This one takeaway that I had that won't spoil anything is just to tell you that this is one of those books where when I think back on the content, I can't remember if I saw it in a movie or I read it in this book.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, so I'm like, remember that movie, and it was like, then he was doing this, and you're like, no,
that was a book actually. You're like, well, didn't they make a movie?
But
like,
it's
no,
so vivid in your mind,
yeah.
the way that this is written, it's just absolutely yeah. brilliant.
And I actually underestimated it. The total hours you'll spend listening to audiobooks to catch up with the full series right now is 206 hours. So if you've got 206 hours, that's almost 10 days of listening. Like 24 hours a day of listening,
yeah.
like 10 full days. That's
right.
ridiculous. So
yeah.
these books will keep you busy for a long, long time. So that is the Stormlight Archives. If you want to start it up, The Way of Kings, definitely recommend.
Awesome.
We can leave you with two quick bits of tech
okay,
in the
really
next
quick.
Section.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. All right. So tech, really, really quickly.
Yes.
I know
just because this episode is running long, so we'll try to finish this.
So I have so many tech things to bring you, so we'll have to do more episodes so
mm-hmm.
that I can talk about everything. But the one I want to talk about today is something called, which maybe some of you know what this is. I don't know. It's a sous vide immersion circulator.
Mm.
So what sous vide cooking is basically like, it's like a French term for vacuum sealed cooking. And the idea is that you vacuum seal your meat and it mushes, like all of that's the scientific word.
Mm.
I guess through osmosis or something. It gives the herbs and spices and all that stuff pretty much nowhere to go but into the meat.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind this is that you heat a pot of water to a certain temperature and then you keep it there for a long period of time. So it's not exactly like poaching, you know, and it's not something necessarily that you can do on the stovetop unless you have a thermometer there and you're like constantly watching the water.
Like you're making candy.
Well, but the problem is with when you're cooking on the stove, the bottom of your pot is always going to be
hotter
than the top of the pot. And for this to work well, you need to make sure all the water is the same temperature. So what this does, and this is this particular one that I have is the Instant Pot brand, but I know there's like an Anova one, and there's a few others that are also I think pretty good. But I can speak to this one. It's technically the AccuSlim sous vide immersion circulator, and what it does is as it's heating the water, it's actually circulating all the water as well. So what it's going to do is you take a big old pot filled with water, put your immersion thing on there, tighten it up. Like secure it to the side of the pot. You don't put the pot on the stove. You just let the water come to temperature. For chicken breast, I'm putting it on for like 145-ish for about an hour. You get the most moist, like softest, juiciest, fall apart in your mouth chicken. And the reason why I mention this is because when we were, I think it was the last Gen Con that we attended, maybe, or it might have been PAX, actually.
No, it was Gen Con.
Was it Gen Con?
I think it was Gen Con.
I don't remember, but we went to Buca di Beppo.
Yeah.
And it's like this Italian place, you've never been there. And we had like a chicken parm, and I'm like, this is the best piece of chicken I've ever had in my life. And it was like buttery, like fell apart in your
really
mouth,
good.
Like delicious. And I asked my friend Sophia, because she's like a foodie, she and her husband, and she's like, it was probably sous vide. Yeah. Cooked. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I need to find out.
Well, we're going to find out.
We found out, got the cooker. Sure enough, we can now make delicious chicken or any other kind of meats that you would like. So anyway, I highly recommend it, especially I'm not like the world's best cook. So this makes me feel like a really good cook. if you're interested in it, it'll set you back about $80 at Best Buy right now.
Yep.
It's taken off of Amazon. It says, I don't know, you can buy it on Amazon anymore.
Interesting.
But it is the Instant Pot variety, so.
Check it out if you want to try something different.
Thing,
yeah, I mean, it's.
Let me know.
It's a way to. It's definitely good. It's definitely changes things
right?
up. Yeah, I like it. I don't love it.
Why not?
I'm more of a grilled meat kind of guy.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. So. But you do the grilled meat. See, this thing, you cook it, and then you take it out, and you sear it on both sides to give it, like, a nice caramelized.
Yeah, I think we need to. We've used it a few times now. I think I need a few more goes at it
to try it
to
out
to see if I really do like it.
The one thing I will say is that it can get really expensive if you try to actually vacuum seal all your food.
Mm.
They sell these like crazy things that like Ziploc your food together. I just use giant gallon sized Ziploc bags and water dispersion. So like just leave the Ziploc bag open, dip it in the water, it seals it up. And then clip it with like a binder clip to the side of the pot. And beautiful chicken.
All right. Sounds good. All
What's
right.
your tech?
Last piece of tech.
Mine's,
mine's a little more exciting than that, I'll tell you that. All right. So, because mine's only $10.
That is true,
What I've been trying to do, and so I like to every now and again play iPhone games, right? So one game that I got into recently is called Genshin Impact, right? So it's a action RPG type game, really great graphics, really good. The problem I had with it is that the touchscreen controls, you end up pushing the wrong buttons all the time because they're all, they take up real estate on the screen, and the game is so beautiful to look at that I don't want to sit there and do this. So I tried to find a way that I could play it on my iPhone without getting my fingers in the way and without having to deal with you know, like pushing the wrong buttons all the time. So I started doing some searching, and I found a stand called the Blue Lake Performance Redesign Phone Clamp Holder Clamp Mount Stand Bracket for PlayStation 4 Slim Pro PS4 Wireless Control.
That's not an SEO title.
It's a ridiculously long name, but what it does is it is literally this clip device. And if you happen to have a PS4, and they also make it for Xbox 360 controllers, but I prefer the PS4 controller. So you take your controller, it literally clips onto the controller perfectly, and it has a place for your phone. Now, I have an iPhone 12, right?
Fancy.
So this thing is huge.
It's a max.
So yeah. it will hold it perfectly. So it will actually
flip around so you can see it.
Make it almost like a video game device. No other wires that connect. The trick with the PS4 controller and the iPhone, I can't help it if you have an Android, that's your problem. but if you happen to have an iPhone and a PS4, by holding down the share button on the upper left and the PlayStation button, it'll go into Bluetooth search mode.
Mm-hmm.
You'll then show it up on your phone, you connect to it, and you're done. And you can play any game that supports a controller on your iPhone. You can use this PS4 controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's a game changer.
I would probably play more phone games
with this setup.
With that. And so I'm glad that they send you two in one pack.
That's the beauty of this. This thing costs right now $10.98 on Amazon. And you get two of these. And it's compatible with the Android phones because it does come with a USB-C plug.
I wonder if you can play mobile TFT
With your controller. You probably could, but I think that's a weird game to play with your controller. I think I would probably want to play. There is the Wild Rift, is a League of Legends game that I think you can play with a controller because they made a mobile. It's a mobile version of League of Legends. Really, really good. It's a much more streamlined version of the game, but I think you could play with a controller. That's another one where I had a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Using the on-screen controls,
right.
Because it's just not enough real estate on the screen.
I know what we can play. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. You probably could on the phone. So, like I said, this is a complete game changer for the phone.
Literally.
For $10, absolutely worth it. I'm amazed. Like, the quality of this is actually for $10. Like, this is a $5 piece of gear. The quality here
like your mom.
Is ridiculous. Like, it really is. So, that's all.
That's good. It was a good deal.
Good deal.
Very good deal.
I like
deal.
To find good deals, and I like to show you what deals we're getting.
Yes.
All right.
That's good.
That about wraps it up. That's
I think
all
that's
the tech
good.
I had. I think
yeah.
we kind of went on long enough, but you know what? We didn't have an episode for a while. Hope
yes.
We covered enough for you all to be happy with it. And
yeah.
Hope,
we've got more stuff. Yeah. We'll come up with some more stuff, I guess, maybe for next week. We'll try to do
it. We'll try to do it next week, if not within the next 2 weeks. We definitely have we watch a lot of shows. Right now we're going through Star Trek Discovery, and we'll give you our thoughts on that. It's one that I've been putting off for a long time, and then finally decided to get it, give it a go. And she's never watched Star Trek before, so this
good.
Is what are you giving it all?
Well, sorry,
yeah.
So bad.
Give it all away.
Or is it?
Or is it? So yeah, we'll definitely talk about that next time. So look, thanks for joining us. Glad you stuck with us because we've been.
Yeah.
Been away, but definitely try to give some more content in the near future. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see ya.